And hello again. Welcome to another edition of the Mountain View Podcast. I'm your host, Stephen Trammell. It's May 5th, and I'm joined tonight by my friend and co-host,
Todd.
Todd R. Todd, thanks for joining. You know, we've had a couple weeks where we promised people that we're going to follow up on this podcast and we're going to do something different. And like, remember when we did our intro to Calvinism?
Like a year ago?
It was an outro to Calvinism. Like we haven't done anything on it.
I think we talked about the tea and we forgot about the ulip.
We didn't do anything and we're not going to do it tonight. So don't get your hopes up. No. But I do want to close the loop on some things that we started because I think we had some good things going and probably need to finish those things out.
Yeah, I do think sometimes certain topics, like remember our one on expectations, we can expect too much of God and then we might realize at times we expect too little of God. I think that one was one where we had some contrasts and those two went together. We got another one like that today.
Yeah, yeah. So take us through where we're going today.
Well, if you remember, we did a podcast a month or a few weeks ago. I can't remember exactly.
Years.
Was it prehistoric, like before the dinosaurs?
It could be.
We did a podcast on caring too much about what people think and valuing the opinions or getting too wrapped up in what people think. And we even mentioned that podcast that we want to spend some time at some point because we can have the opposite problem where we don't care at all. And it can be a defense mechanism. It can be self-preservation. It can be we don't want to be vulnerable, but we can just not give a rip about what people think. And really what ends up happening is we have a heart that's pretty callous or jaded or cynical. And it's kind of nice because guess what? You don't have to worry about your feelings getting hurt because you don't care.
Yeah.
You know, but is that the spirit of Christ? You know, certainly the spirit of Christ is not caring too much about what people think. Jesus didn't regard, you know, the opinion of people around him. He was here to serve God. But the flip side of that is he loved them and he just cared deeply for them. And so he didn't present himself as some type of person that didn't care.
Right. You would never think of Jesus and say, he's a pretty uncaring person.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, whatever it is that might lead us to be that type of person, maybe we've gotten burned, you know, a bunch of times and we're just tired of being vulnerable. I do think it's something that can be a problem. Maybe it's not as big of a problem as not or caring too much about what people think, but may God help us to just always care, to be concerned. And the verse that I want us to look at tonight to kind of introduce this is 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. And Peter's kind of been going through chapter 2 and chapter 3 of 1 Peter, and he's talking about relationships and how we interact with people. And he says, servants, you know, be submissive to your masters. And don't just be submissive to masters that are good and gentle and reasonable, but even to those who aren't reasonable. You know, that's the kind of servant and right, Jesus shows us the way and you know, when he was reviled, he did not revile again. And while suffering, he uttered no threats. So we need to be that type of servant or employee or, you know, Christian. And then he talks about husbands and wives. And then come down to verse 8 of chapter 3. And he says, let's sum it all up. So go ahead and read verse 8 of 1 Peter 3.
Finally, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind.
Yeah, I love verses like that because he's like, finally, he says, we're going to put a bow on this. We're going to, and the New American Standard says, to sum up, he's like, I'm going to sum it all up and I'm going to give you, he didn't necessarily consider at this point it was going to be one verse, but the way the Bible has broken up the chapters and verses for us, we have one verse that says, here's five things. And when you think about our topic tonight and just this principle that we want to advocate, having this certain type of character that is just so caring, not necessarily caring what people think in an unhealthy way, but being concerned about people around us in a way that we do care about them and what they think, and we make sure that they know that and understand it. All five of these things just hit the nail on the head.
Yeah, and when you, I want to just repackage what you said there. Most of the time we think of character traits as something that I add exclusively to myself. Like, I'm a better person. But these character traits that he mentions here are directly related to our relationships with others.
Right.
Like, it's not that I'm working out and I'm going to be strong and all of a sudden I'm stronger and that's good for me. But nobody else really benefits, maybe unless I'm lifting something for you. But it's all about me. When I lose weight, you don't benefit. And Christianity, we can sometimes think like that. Like, you know, this is all about me.
Right.
And if I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, then it doesn't really matter what anybody else does.
Right.
And it's just me and God and me and Jesus. And yet here he says unity of mind. Well, all of a sudden, well, that latches me on to everybody else. I can't have unity of mind by myself.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, the unity implied here is with everyone.
Yeah.
That are Christians. Sympathy. We definitely can't have sympathy for yourself. Like, self-sympathy is
that's just
depression.
It's a pity party, and you're the only one invited to the party.
Brotherly love? You got to love other people. A tender heart, well, that implies actions that have been taken against me by someone or toward me. And then a humble mind, implying it's got to be humble toward someone else.
Yeah.
I mean, we've got five things there that... All of a sudden, I got to start thinking about you.
Yeah. Have you ever driven a nail into a board? Like a big nail?
Yeah. No, it wasn't always on the first swing.
No. Well, maybe sometimes it takes four or five. And that's what I'm saying for this point tonight. Like, each one of these words is the hammer hitting the nail into the board. And you got five good licks and they're all just driving home the point. And everything that you said, and I think the way you repackaged it is perfect. It's all about our interaction with people. God put us here, and we have so many different relationships between various and sundry individuals. We have, you know, husbands and wives. We have parents and children. We have extended family. We have coworkers, kind of employers, employees. We have brothers and sisters in Christ. And all of these words, and particularly when he's addressing this to Christians in the first century and to Christians today in the 21st century, it's about being the person in a community of people that God wants you to be, and you're just concerned about everyone.
I don't like this podcast.
Well,
I like the other one where, you know, we just develop a thicker skin and we plow through life and
we don't care too much about what people think.
Not be swayed by popular opinion. I mean, I can work in that a lot more than I think I can work in this, where I don't know, I'm suddenly sensitive.
You gotta care what everyone thinks.
I'm sympathetic. Well, here's the thing. A lot of people are just dumb. I mean,
exactly.
Like, they do dumb things and say dumb things. And really, am I under any kind of obligation to to just really care what those people think?
Oh man!
I'll take a sip of water while you mull that over.
Well, there's so many responses, but the short answer is yes.
I don't like this podcast.
So here, I want to say a couple things about a couple of these words. First of all, the first one where it's talking about being of the same mind, the New American Standard actually uses a musical term here to give us the English meaning, and he says, "All of you be harmonious." Harmonious. And when you think about what you were saying about you can't do it by yourself, one key on the piano is not harmony, is not melody or harmony, it's just a note. But when you play a chord, you know, some of you musical listeners out there or young people that may have stumbled across our podcast, it's harmonious. It's beautiful. We do that in some of our harmonies at church. But if you've ever heard a 3-year-old or a 4-year-old who's never taken any lessons, just start banging on the piano.
Yeah. That happens a lot, actually.
That dissonance, you know, the two, just banging on two keys right next to each other on the piano, you know, that's the person who doesn't care what people think. That's the person who doesn't regard man and have this caring spirit. And it
sound good.
It doesn't sound good. It doesn't feel good. It doesn't look good. It makes for a lot of awkward situations. And let's care.
I mean, that really is the perfect example, because what you have a lot of times in life is six or seven people on six or seven pianos that don't know how to play. And they're just banging it out. And they're sitting there thinking, I wish that guy'd shut up.
Yeah.
Can you hear what's going on here?
And then it just reminds me of 1 Corinthians 13:1. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal or a piano that someone's just banging on. And you know, so it goes back to love. You know, we talked about love with the greatest command and loving one another as the second great commandment last week. And you just about can't get away from that topic. But may God help us to seek to be harmonious with anyone or with everyone. You know, there may be times when it's just absolutely isn't possible, right? Romans chapter 12, as much as possible, as much as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. That's our goal. And maybe we're not 100% successful 100% of the time, but if we strive to be, then most of the time we will be.
This one takes work. And I know, I mean, we joke about it kind of being difficult, but you have to stop and think outside of yourselves. You have to think about other people. You have to think about how you're impacting them, what you've said, how it may be interpreted. I mean, you were really constantly thinking of how this is going to be received. How was it received? You're even following up to make sure, hey, I hope we, you know, this disagreement we had in Bible class, like, let me make sure we're on the same page. And, you know, we go the extra mile to clear that up. A lot of times, I mean, that's just 10 times more work than saying what I think and then not really caring where the chips fall. I mean, it's just happening.
Peace out.
It's hard. And so I encourage everybody to take these character traits simply or seriously, because you're not ever going to find the depth of relationships in Christ unless these things happen. Because here's what's going to happen. You're going to worship at a church for 2 years, 5 years, 10 years. Somebody's going to hurt your feelings.
Right.
Or you're going to hurt somebody else's feelings. And if you're not sympathetic toward that reality, you're just going to continue to do it.
Right.
You're going to continue to have those rough edges. You know, I can't take you anywhere. Have you ever been around someone where you never knew what they were going to say and you were just embarrassed? Like, I don't know what's going to happen tonight.
Oh, man. Yeah. And you didn't know it was going to happen, but you knew odds were good that you were going to have some awkward moments.
Like family members, like holidays, things like that. That's how a lot of people are. Now, why are people like that? They don't have these character traits.
Right.
They're not concerned about maybe we should be unified. Maybe I should have sympathy or love towards you or a tender heart or humility in my mind.
Right.
We're not even thinking.
Right.
We're on autopilot because we listened to our first podcast and we're just blazing a trail, our trail in the world. And so this is a necessary foil, I think, for us to have the appropriate mentality that on some level, it's biblically sound for us to actually embrace how our brothers feel.
Yeah.
And what our actions may impact on them.
What their thoughts are, what they're thinking, what they're feeling, how they perceive us, all of those things. We might say, well, that's not real. That's just what you think. You know, your perception and reality are different. Well, okay, but we must, if we're going to have these character traits, which is what Peter's saying we need to have, we respect all those things. Yes, it's someone's opinion. Yes, it's their perception. Yes, it's what they think about us. Maybe there's some validity to that.
Oh, man. And when he says have unity of mind, some of you are going to go do this with a sledgehammer.
Like, unity of mind is perfect as long as you agree with me.
Right. And that's why the very last one, having a humble mind, is so important.
Oh, man.
It can't be about you being right.
Ooh,
Like, you got to see things from a brother's perspective. Yeah. And if you don't, you're never going to have sympathy of mind.
Right.
You're just going to continue to not be able to understand. You're not going to understand how your wife thinks. And that's why the scripture says, well, you need to dwell with her in an understanding way.
And it's in the verse right before this. That's what I was thinking of as you were talking. It's like 1 Peter 3:7, husbands, you know, likewise, dwell with your wives in an understanding manner, as with someone weaker since she is a woman, and show her honor as fellow heirs of the grace of life so that your prayers be not hindered. It's like, show her honor.
Yeah, so do you think it's right?
Show her honor.
Wise to go through life saying, I don't care what you think to your wife.
As long as you agree with me, we're united in mind.
And some wives have had to just do that. They've had to have the humility of mind because their husbands are fools.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they've never gotten to 1 Peter 3:8 or 1 Peter 5:5. Clothe yourselves with humility.
All of you.
Yeah, 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 that's right.
All of you.
Yeah.
And if everybody's clothed with humility, then we both are going to stumble over each other to make sure the other one's taken care of.
It's going to be harmonious.
Let's bring this to life. So I got an Old Testament passage I want us to read. I mean, it's not a one-for-one thing, but I think in it you'll see the spirit of these things play out.
Yeah.
If you got your Bibles and you want to turn back in the Old Testament to 2 Samuel 9.
The double old.
Super old, 2 Samuel 9. And we're going to see the heart of God through the man after God's own heart. We're going to look at the story of David, really post-kingship here. I mean, he is no longer the ruddy youth that's throwing rocks at Goliath.
Right.
He's not even...
throwing rocks at Goliath is classic.
Being chased by Saul in the wilderness. Like, he's...
he's arrived, finally.
The king is here. And, you know, things should be, from his perspective... I mean, when you're king, what is life about other than you? I mean, you can live out the podcast, don't care what other people think.
Yeah, exactly.
If you don't like it, you're the king. I mean, you can do whatever you want. You make the rules in the monarchy here. And so what we read in chapter 9 is so wild that it's only coming from the heart and mind of someone who is in tune with God.
Right, right.
You want to read some of it for us?
Yeah,
sure. We got 13 verses. We probably should just read them all.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's read. I'll read through verse 6 and then you read the rest.
Got it.
2 Samuel chapter 9, verse 1 beginning. Then David said, is there yet anyone left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? Now there was a servant in the house of Saul whose name was Ziba, and they called him to David. And the king said to him, are you Ziba? And he said, I am your servant. The king said, is there not yet anyone of the house of Saul to whom I may show the kindness of God? And Ziba said to the king, there is still a son of Jonathan who is crippled in both feet. So the king said to him, where is he? And Ziba said to the king, behold, he is in the house of Maker, the son of Amiel, in Lodibar. Then King David sent and brought him from the house of Maker, the son of Amiel, from Lodibar. Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, came to David and fell on his face and prostrated himself and said, and David said, Mephibosheth? And he said, here is your servant.
And David said to him, do not fear, for I will show you kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan, and I will restore to you all the land of Saul your father, and you shall eat at my table always. And he paid homage and said, what is your servant that you should show regard for a dead dog such as I? Then the king called Ziba, Saul's servant, and said to him, all that belonged to Saul and to all his house I have given to your master's grandson. And you and your sons and your servants shall till the land for him and shall bring in the produce that your master's grandson may have bread to eat. But Mephibosheth, your master's grandson, shall always eat at my table. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. And Ziba said to the king, according to all that my lord the king commands his servant, so will your servant do. So Mephibosheth ate at David's table like one of the king's sons. And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah. And all who lived in Ziba's house became Mephibosheth's servants. So Mephibosheth lived in Jerusalem, for he ate always at the king's table. Now he was lame in both feet. You know what makes this story so great? I would never do it.
just the randomness of it. But thinking about our text in 1 Peter 3:8, you know, be harmonious, you know, kind-hearted, tender-hearted, kind-hearted, and what's David's thought here?
Well, okay, I mean,
kindness.
If you think of verse 1, it is 100% sympathy.
Yeah.
You know, it is sympathy. So he's recognizing if there is anyone left in Saul's house, like you've gone from the top to the bottom.
Right.
You've gone from in charge to disgraced. I mean, you've been killed by your enemies. You've been abandoned by God. Your house really is no more in the sense of, you know, there's no great lineage of kings happening here. I mean, David is on the throne. And yet, what is he doing? He is sitting around thinking about someone else.
Yeah. And again, back to 1 Peter 3:8, the idea of brotherly love. He had this brotherly love for Jonathan, and it didn't die with Jonathan. He's like, I want to just keep showing it.
Yeah, and I want to say that because it is love for Jonathan's sake. But notice what is said in verse 1 and reiterated again in verse 3. I'm looking for someone of the house of Saul.
Yeah, that's right.
So it wasn't like, I'm never going to speak that guy's name again. He's dead to me. Right. And really, I mean, he was disgraced. Like when we go back and study from 1 Samuel 15 and other things, Saul is the quintessential bad guy.
No, and all the things that he did to David, you know, when we're talking about caring about someone, even when you've been hurt, David could have easily said, that guy, I've been burned by Saul too many times. If anyone in my kingdom even utters the name of Saul, you'll be put to death.
Or let me find somebody from the house of Saul that I may punish him.
And string him up from the nearest tree.
Let's chase him like, you know, and David was a man of war. I mean, this stuff is not, it's not outside of his purview.
Yeah.
I mean, after he killed Goliath, but he cut his head off. Yeah. I mean, this is not, these are not just children's stories here. This is real life. And yet, he wanted to show kindness to the house of Saul. And when you talk about not caring what anybody thinks, he's remembering stuff that happened to him years ago. He's thinking, and he doesn't even know the person. Like, is there anyone even left? And his whole thought is, I'm going to show him some kindness.
Yeah. Whoever it is, we're just going to make his day.
And so, I mean, point number one, as we always like to have some points, when you talk about caring what other people think, you've got to think about them. Like it has to enter your own consciousness on your own time. And you just, at some point, like David, are sitting around thinking, you know, I wonder if that guy's okay.
Exactly.
I wonder if she's okay.
Exactly.
I wonder how they're doing.
So podcast challenge time. Sometime in the next week, put your phone down. Put your remote control, you know, down and just think about people in your life or think about who you might need to think about, whoever that might be.
Yeah. Somebody so that may need your kindness.
Yeah. Yeah. Or someone that maybe you haven't cared what they thought or you haven't cared much about them and care about them.
How about this? Think of the house of your enemies, find their grandson and send them a present.
Find the one that gets on your nerves the most and spend an hour with them over lunch.
Send them something. That's what David's doing.
Yeah.
Like, I want the house of Saul. And as you read later, I mean, Mephibosheth, do you think he's excited about the summons?
He's probably thinking, what's happening?
I'm pretty much guaranteeing that.
This can't end well.
Well, because
why does the king want me?
Here's the thing that we find out as the text goes on. He's not currently in possession of things that maybe he should have been in possession of.
Yeah, well, that goes back to Saul being disgraced. I mean, when the king's disgraced, all of his land and property and servants are free reign for others to use or basically claim for their own.
And he's still going to have some problems with this later on. I mean, the dust didn't settle on some of this. But for the time being, your only thought is this guy's going to kill me.
Yeah.
And if that is how people think of us, if we summon them, like if you send a gift to your enemy's grandson's house, are they going to be checking it for poison? Or they're like, this is, I don't think we should accept this.
Yeah.
But not David.
Right.
And so here, well, there's an interesting thing the scripture bears out, and it tells us more about the story before. But Mephibosheth wasn't just like somebody that was worth showing kindness to. You know, the scripture bears this out. He is somebody who it says is lame in both feet. Now, for us, it's not a big deal, right? If you got plantar fasciitis or, you know, you break your foot and you're on crutches, just a temporary solution because they're going to go in there and put a rod in there like your son and we'll be back in business.
Right.
But these people, when you're lame in both feet, you're done.
Right.
I mean, you really are helpless. I mean, there's no way for you to take care of yourself. You're not going out plowing the fields.
Yeah.
You're at everyone's literal mercy.
Right.
And so if somebody said, hey, Todd, there's this guy named Mephibosheth, but he's not much to look at. We're going to have to drag him in here.
Yeah.
Well, he's really not worth your time. Right? I mean,
it's definitely, it takes extra kindness or extra selflessness or extra humility to want to help that person who isn't the most popular, isn't the most, you know, physically capable.
He can literally never return the kindness.
Right.
There's nothing he can do.
Right.
And so here's what you're asking. Are there any special needs people in Saul's house that I might do kindness to them?
Right. Or anyone. And if they happen to be special needs, guess what? We're still going to love them.
And let me just tell you, again, having a sister growing up that's Down syndrome, seeing people that deal with kids or special needs, you know, autism, other things, it takes a special level of kindness to be that parent to that child.
Yeah.
It takes a special level of kindness to appreciate, you know, it's difficult parenting here at this level.
Right.
But when I've got a now parent at this level, I'm taking on a whole nother responsibility. And so when David sees him, David's like, it's your lucky day.
Yeah. Yeah. You literally just hit the jackpot.
So point number two, you know, he embraces the kindness really to the least fortunate and has sympathy toward the person least deserving. Mephibosheth even says, I mean, I'm really just a dead dog here.
Yeah, right, right.
I mean, compared to you, you're dragging me in here. What do you even care about me? Because he went and took him out of another city.
Right.
He's not outside his door.
Right.
He's like, we got to go find this guy. The king has summoned you. And right. He's drug in here like, what's going on?
Right.
Oh, you're just the man I wanted to see.
Yes.
And so Mephibosheth is shocked. And then point number three, the depth of kindness that David showed.
Yeah.
Only God would do such a thing.
Right. And in this case, a servant of God, someone that's a man after God's own heart. And what does that look like? It's not nickel and dime stuff. It's all day, every day. You basically got an allotment for life.
What do you give people like a nephew, like your sister's kid or something? What do you give them for Christmas? Like a $25 gift card or something? Maybe I don't even do that for you.
I give them a smile and a handshake.
Yeah, so we don't even do gifts for that side of the family. You know, so here Mephibosheth comes, and he's not like, you know, I heard this podcast about showing kindness and caring about other people and caring what they think. I had some run-ins with your family, so I want to make sure you're okay. Here's $100, and this will check this box.
Right.
Right. This is gonna cover us for the inconvenience that your father caused. I did love Jonathan, but your granddad was a wreck, and so to show myself righteous, here's $100 gift card. This is four times more than I give my own children in their stockings. And so here's your $100. Like, David doesn't do that. Not only does David say, I am restoring everything that belonged to Saul and to all his house. Do you hear me? I am giving it to your master's grandson. Now, right. that is not the end of it. He's like, look, I want you guys who have been caretakers, Ziba, I want you to go till the land for him, and you just bring him the produce.
Yeah, you just bring him the money.
That he has things that he needs to eat, but I don't want you to really worry about it because he's always going to eat at my table.
Yeah, he'll already be done with the all-you-can-eat buffet at my house.
But I still want him to make sure
he's going to you to do all this and bring in the proceeds.
Now, this guy, Ziba, had 15 sons and 20 servants. So all of a sudden, these guys are now working for Mephibosheth.
Right, right.
So all of a sudden, this guy that's lame in his feet, he's like, what? You just inherited everything that Saul had.
Yeah.
You got instant, you know, financial
security, stability.
I mean, yeah, and with all this stuff. And by the way, you're going to eat at my house every day.
Right.
Every meal. Could you imagine? Could you imagine going to your enemy saying, hey, do you have any kids or grandkids? I just want to feed them every day.
Yeah. I just want to take care of you and all of your descendants.
I don't like taking my own children to Chick-fil-A, much less... Guys, you're going to get a lifetime supply of lunches courtesy of me.
Courtesy of Chick-fil-A.
To Chick-fil-A. Who does this?
I don't know, but what do you get him two sandwiches on Saturday because of the Sunday thing?
I guess it's true. We don't know what he ate. I mean, he could have given him bologna sandwiches. But knowing the spirit of this chapter, I mean, eating at the king's table.
No, yeah.
Dude,
yeah.
He had a spread and more.
Right.
All because David took a minute to show empathy, sympathy, compassion, and kindness to somebody that really, he didn't deserve it.
Right.
Man, if we adopted the spirit in the church and our relationships, yes, there are times where we shouldn't care what people think and we don't bow to the peer pressure, but there are times when we need to be so sensitive to how others feel, are feeling, might be feeling.
Yes.
To today, I pick up the phone and say, can I just do good to you today? Our problems would disappear.
That's right.
But our arrogance and our pride and our stubbornness and our unwillingness and our hard hearts.
Preach it.
Just keep us, they keep us in this mentality of, I'm going to wait for them to come and apologize because it says that, did David wait for lame Mephibosheth to walk up to his door?
Preach it.
I mean, he didn't. So again, just embrace these verses and think, is there somebody that's got something against me today?
Yeah.
Is there somebody that I just don't have a great relationship with? Is there somebody at church that is a Mephibosheth and that is lame and hurting and alone, and you could bring them to your table and let them sit there and eat? Like, what are we doing?
Right.
What are we doing?
Yeah, I think we're probably getting close to the end, and what I would like to say is, somewhat we've discussed it, but that idea from 1 Peter 3:8 of being tender-hearted, I think your translation said, and the New American Standard said kind-hearted. If your heart has gotten harder over the years, or you've built up a wall of stones around your heart to protect yourself, and you've done that as a defense mechanism, then you may not find yourself having the spirit of David, or having the spirit that Peter is calling you to have, and the Holy Spirit is calling you to have. And I want to say in this podcast, tear down the wall. Have a tender heart. Have a kind heart. And I understand the need for a defense mechanism because it hurts when we're vulnerable. It hurts when we care. And then people, you know, take our heart and just step on it like you know, it's a doormat for them to wipe their feet on. But let's try not to get into that cynical, jaded, hard-hearted place where, yeah, you never get hurt, but you also don't reach out and help and connect with people like Peter wants us to, like the Holy Spirit wants us to, and like someone like David did.
What did Mephibosheth deserve?
Nada.
Didn't deserve anything.
Yeah.
But David gave him everything. And I challenge you, you take me up on this. If you show this level of kindness, you continue to show me a wall on a problem. They will just be melted with the kindness of God. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
You can't go to this length and find the least fortunate and show them this amount of love and not think it's going to touch their heart.
Yeah.
It will. And you haven't done this amount. And if I asked somebody, they'd be like, yeah, well, 3 weeks ago, I said this to them. Why are you not out there every day bringing them to your table?
Yeah.
Like, if you invited your enemy over to your house every day, at some point, they'd probably say yes.
Yeah, and at some point, they wouldn't be your enemy anymore, and you'd have another friend.
And that's how Mephibosheth was. And later on, he will have been a friend to David.
Right.
Like, he is going to try to help David out of a tough time. But, yeah, I mean, just what a great story. It's a challenge, man. I'm going to go do something good for somebody.
Yeah, yeah, let's do it. And, you know, if you're wondering how in the world 2 Samuel 9 was going to go with 1 Peter 3, 8, hopefully we put a bow on that, because it really is a perfect example of this idea of having this harmonious spirit, this brotherly love, this tender-hearted, kind-hearted, humble. I mean, David was the king, and he was still humble enough to just take care of this virtual nobody that could have been an enemy or someone that he would have been well within his rights to you know, bring harm to or to persecute even. And he just overflows with generosity.
And think about this as we close. Saul's progeny is sitting and feasting at the table with David.
Right.
Who he saw as his greatest enemy would have been his greatest friend, and their families dine together. I mean, this is what a great story. That's what love does.
You just rewrite the legacy or the dynasty or the kingdom of David, because it's one of kindness and generosity. There were some blemishes in the kingdom. We wouldn't extol it as being 100% virtuous all the time. But this is a great lesson on a man after God's own heart.
That's right. Tell him I'm going to go do work. Let's do it.
We got out of our comfort zone, so now we got to go put our money where our mouth is.
Todd, thanks for another good podcast. Thanks for our listeners. Thanks for all the great feedback that you have, questions, concerns, you know, negative comments. We take those too, because, well, we're just doing the best we can. And so, again, if you have anything we can say or study to help you, happy to do it. But hope that these things help you get closer to God. And as we try to be more like him, just reflect on the scripture for just a few minutes together. And thank you, as always, for your valuable time. I hope it's been well spent.
God bless.